Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. It is Hump Day, Wednesday, the 27th day of March 2024. Yes, I got the date correct. Give me a gold star. Anyway, heading on in to the Baton Rouge area this morning, I figured I'd jump on here and speak my mind a little bit. Have you seen all of the ads for Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
I can barely squeak out a few words because he has some kind of neurological disorder that he can't speak properly.
You know the guy. Can you imagine that guy representing the United States? Well, after 4 years of Joe Biden, yeah, you kind of can. After Joe Biden's mumbling, fumbling, crumbling, tumbling, stumbling, bumbling, muttering, puttering, fluttering, shuddering, stuttering, and stammering, his groping of little girls on live television, his hair sniffing, his lies, his crime family dealings, his inability to even read two pre-printed sentences without falling all over himself, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. at least made sense when he spoke. Strangely enough, the Democrat Party thinks that Fox News and Donald Trump inserted and installed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as a spoiler to take votes away from Joe Biden in the upcoming election. That was the thought process. Of course, on the other side of things, the Donald Trump campaign thinks they installed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as a spoiler to take moderate votes away from Donald Trump. Of course, I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. had some bad advice from some people who said, hey, this Biden's not going to make it, man. And the Democrat Party has nobody else. Now's your time to shine. Be a Kennedy. He got the divorced ex-wife of the Google CEO, who won billions and billions of dollars in her divorce, to support his campaign. She was the woman behind the Super Bowl ad, which looked like something out of the 1960s McCarthy era. Rah, 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 vote for Kennedy, Kennedy, yay. Anyway, she put up $4 or $5 million to air Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Super Bowl ad, and his campaign has gone literally nowhere since. So now she wants a return on her investment. This woman, who is only known for divorcing the Google CEO and taking billions of dollars from him in a divorce settlement, this woman is now his choice, quote unquote, to be his vice presidential running mate. So you take a libertarian wannabe, disgraced Democrat Party member, put him into the race as an independent, and then as payback, he has to select the woman who has financed his campaign from day one, and that's his choice, supposedly, to be the vice presidential running mate. So, we know his qualifications. Not very many. His last name happens to be Kennedy, related to the late Robert Kennedy, the senator, the uber-liberal progressive beginning of it all. And yes, he's run for and won a few political offices here and there, but he's really not a good speaker, not a good representative. He represents very many liberal ideas, so he couldn't be a spoiler for Trump. Although we hope he will siphon votes away from Biden. He's pro-abortion, and if you think he's pro-abortion, the woman he has chosen to be his vice presidential running mate has supported what she calls equitable abortion. In the guise of diversity, equity, and inclusiveness, she says white women can afford to murder their babies, but black women often can't afford to murder their babies. So she has funded programs to pay for abortions for black people. which, if you don't like black people, might be a good thing, because there are less of them on the road. If she pays to have a bunch of them aborted, you might see that as a positive. Personally, I think all lives matter. Black ones, brown ones, white ones, and yellow ones alike. If a baby is born, it's born as an innocent human life. It's only through indoctrination and socioeconomic upbringing that certain ethnic minority babies grow up to be criminal thug, rapists, murderers, animals, carjackers, shooters, stabbers, drug dealers, drug abusers. So I am anti-abortion, make that perfectly clear. But Robert F. Kennedy is pro-baby murder. And his choice for vice president is also pro-baby murder, but really pro, as in funding to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars pro-baby murder. Okay, that's just one thing. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and this woman are all about this whole notion that black people are just getting a bum rap, and that black people don't make their own beds to lie in, and they're pro-welfare. They claim to be pro-less government, pro-less government control, but the fact of the matter is they're pro-social programs, pro-welfare, pro-give-away this and give-away that to certain people who will vote for them. So if you're planning on considering an alternate candidate for president other than Trump and other than Biden, I say if you're a Democrat, look deep into the programs, policies, and political positions of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. If you're Republican, conservative, common sense thinking American with a head on your shoulders, I think you should stick with Donald Trump, because he represents what conservative American citizens consider to be important issues. You know, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, smaller government, lower taxes, and a return of American manufacturing to our own soils. That's why you should vote for Donald Trump. Okay, now that I've gotten off of my political soapbox about Robert F. Kennedy Jr., we can move on. And I'm pretty sure that he should move on as well. But now, having a woman who has billions and billions of dollars to waste on her now own vice presidential run, with her only qualification being she was smart enough to sleep with the guy who was the Google CEO and then divorce him and take half of everything he owned, I don't think she, one heartbeat away from the presidency, is a viable, qualified candidate to be the vice presidential running mate of any serious presidential contender. Okay, now I'm done. Yeah, now I'm done. That bridge collapse that happened yesterday at 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time in Maryland was tragic. People are now floating all sorts of conspiracy theories that this was just the first of many such major infrastructure collapses to come, thanks to illegal immigration. Well, I'm here to tell you, I don't buy it. I was in New Orleans, Louisiana, when the vessel Bright Field lost steering control and crashed into the New Orleans Riverwalk some 20 years ago. It happens. But there should be other safety systems installed on these massive ocean-going vessels. We know there are bow thrusters, those propellers mounted on either side of the bow of a ship to push it left or right. My question is, were the bow thrusters in operation? Were they even considered by the captain of the ship or the pilot who was responsible for steering the ship at the time of that horrific crash? I will credit the crew for having the wherewithal to call local port authorities and the police to say, hey, we've lost steering control. We don't know where this boat's headed, but you might want to clear traffic off of the bridge. Shut that bridge down right now. Because instead of having 20 vehicles go in, or 12, or whatever the number actually turns out to be, there could have been literally hundreds of people leaving that area after a weekend night of dining and drinking and dancing and sightseeing. I've been on that bridge many, many times. And when you look at it prior to its destruction, of course, you always wonder, how the hell does that thing stand up? It's a very, very smallish looking superstructure and frame sitting atop two brick concrete piers. But being of cantilever design, if you take a ruler, place it on your finger like a seesaw, and you put three items on one side of the ruler and three items on the other side of the ruler, they balance one another out. But as soon as you remove the items from one side of the ruler, the other side comes crashing down. And that was the design of this bridge, a cantilever, a seesaw. So of course, damaging the finger that held that ruler up would cause the cascading reaction that we saw, and to see that very thin bridge just crumble like poorly placed Lego bricks into the bay. Many local shipping companies and international shipping companies utilize that waterway to get goods and services to and from points A and B, wherever those points may be. This will disrupt not only vehicular traffic, people crossing that interstate bridge for maybe a year or two now, they're going to have to divert and go all the way around. But shipping traffic, vessel traffic, will also be disrupted until the crews can get into that bay and dismantle that bridge piece by piece by piece and discard it, and then clear the bay of any other obstructions prior to shipping being able to be resumed. March Madness still underway. I don't watch, I don't care, but I thought I'd bring it up. And this weekend it was announced that women's sports, especially women's collegiate sports, have gone to the forefront in many household television sets. Many people watching women's basketball as Caitlin Clark and that nasty little girl from LSU, Angel Reese, continue to dominate the sport of women's basketball at the collegiate level in their own respective schools. And mostly what happens when the men's sports start to fade in popularity and women's sports start to take hold, the people who promote men's sports find reasons and excuses and make up stories to try and disparage the women and the sports in which they represent. This weekend was not without controversy. People calling in to question certain aspects of the lives of Angel Reese, the smart-ass little black girl from LSU, and of Caitlin Clark. Even memes popping up questioning whether Caitlin Clark was really a female. Is she just a transgender? Because she is lithe and she is in great shape. And she has a square jaw. Shame on you in the media and in men's sports for trying to disparage these college female athletes for accomplishing what they've accomplished. It is said this year that the amount of money drawn in to women's sporting events has dwarfed all previous years, some $4 billion total, which still is nothing in comparison to the hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars that are poured into men's sporting events each and every year. Keep on playing, girls. Maybe one day the media will let you catch up. I've been to other states in the United States of America. I've been to other nations, and I can tell you, my recent trip to Asia, my trips to Canada, to Australia, to New Zealand, all prove one thing. We, as Americans, have been lied to for many, many decades. People who come to China and then go, come from China rather, and then go back to China that we met along our trip were actually laughing. They said, we were told America was like a shining city with streets paved in gold, and that everyone drove a Cadillac, and that everyone owned a big, beautiful house on a freshly paved concrete road, and everyone has a lawn of perfectly green grass with tulips blooming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then we came to America and we saw crumbling roads and potholes and manhole covers sticking a foot and a half up in the air out of the streets in the cities that are sinking into Mother Earth. Cities like New Orleans, like Jacksonville, Florida, like St. Augustine, like Miami. Sure, you can direct people like they do when foreign dignitaries come to town. You can direct people down recently paved streets that were cleaned by street sweepers the night before, and fresh flowers are hung and all the banners are up and decorated and rah, 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 USA. But we went to areas of town where no dignitary would ever be expected to want to go. We went to areas of different cities throughout Vietnam, throughout Shanghai, throughout Lijiang, throughout Hangzhou. We went into Singapore, which is a country and a city all in itself. We went into the back streets, to the neighborhoods where the restaurant workers and the taxi drivers and the garbage collectors lived. And all of those streets were in fantastic shape. I'm driving down Interstate 10 this morning near Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I can tell you, I've hit more potholes and seen more cracked sections of roadway than you can shake a stick at. Of course, some of you will say, well, that's because the city of Baton Rouge and New Orleans, they're built on gumbo. They're built on marshland. Well, that's true of New Orleans, but it's not true of Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge is far north of the marshland, of the swampland. It's hard-packed red clay in many areas. The thing is, in China, the government says, we're going to build a highway here. And they appropriate the land. And no, they don't just go in there with bulldozers and push poor farmers off of their land. They compensate them for their land properly. And they say, we're going to put a roadway through here. And one of the benefits of us putting a roadway through your land is you get to keep the land on both sides of that roadway. So if you want to sell it to the Marriott Corporation to build a hotel, you can do that and still keep land behind that Marriott for farming purposes. And then the government says, okay, we have certain rules and standards. Roads must be this wide, they must be this deep, they must be triple reinforced plasticized concrete. They must be properly graded so that water runs off of them. They must be maintained. And we're going to do tests on those roads to make damn sure you don't skimp. Because if you do, you will never be eligible to get another government contract. And you will be shunned out of business in disgrace. Because it's a more honorable society than we have here in the U.S. I'm not saying that. I'm not rah-rah China. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, ooh, they're so much better. I can't wait to move there because I have no desire to move there. What I do have a desire to do is to have government... officials, sorry about that, to have government officials go there and see how things are done properly and then come back here and say, wow, have we been doing it wrong all along? Let's fix it. Let's make it better here. Let's become the shining example of how things should be. Let's live up to the reputation that we built in the 1950s, the 1960s, the 1970s. This is the Truth Hurts program. Okay, switching gears this morning, let's talk about the return to office work. Many people in America now being told by their companies, come back to the office and work from where you're supposed to work, or we're going to find someone to replace you. The situation regarding that comes all the way back to a time when we were children. If all summer long you got to stay out until the streetlights were on and then come in and eat dinner, and then every night mom gave you 3 cookies before bed, and then suddenly school year comes and you have to go back to school, which means you have to be in bed for 8 o'clock when the streetlights come on. You have to get home in time to take your bath and et cetera, et cetera. And there are no cookies because they don't want you hyped up and wound up overnight. You'd get upset because they took your cookies away. It's common sense. It's human nature. The Wuhan, China novel coronavirus of 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, and now almost halfway into 2024, taught us one thing. The lockdowns that forced people to go home and work from home and telework was a double-edged sword. Those lockdowns harmed Americans by taking them out of the normal commerce work cycle, where you get up in the morning, you go to your job, and then at the end of the day, you go home and you live your life. It just isn't the same. Now that people are being forced to go back to work, it is, to some of them, feeling like they've had their cookies taken away from them. Feeling as if someone has screwed them out of something. They have had something taken away from them, and that's just not right, in their opinion, of course. They are wrong because you're not supposed to, in your life, have everything handed to you. You're not supposed to have everything go your way 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's just not the way man is built. Many people are revolting because they're being told to come back to the office. Some are quietly quitting. They're cutting back on their productivity now that they're back in the office. I have a message for them. The economy doesn't need you to be a slacker. Sorry, you're expected to do the job. You either do the job or move aside for someone who will do the job. That's the way it's supposed to be. And if you're whining and crying because the office has certain standards of dress code or appearance, don't say, well, you're just an old stick in the mud. Dress codes, uniforms are there for a reason, so that customers can readily identify you as a person who works in that organization. If your company doesn't require uniforms, they may have a dress code. And they may require you to wear a name tag so that people know who you are. It's just common sense. But common sense is what's lacking in the United States of America, the year 2024, so far. And it is the liberal, progressive, woke policies of the left that continue to push the notion that someone can pretend to be a woman, dress up like a woman, and then be expected to be treated as if they are a woman. And if not, someone needs to be punished. It's total bullshit, and it is wrong, and it goes against every fiber of normality and common sense, not to mention science. Now, I'm bringing that up because I work in an environment where they push this DEI on us each and every day. We have men pretending to be women in our office that we're supposed to treat as women. And to hell with it, our opinion, our being offended by that, does not even count for one red cent in their eyes. We're supposed to take into consideration the feelings of these mentally ill individuals who pretend to be something they can never, ever be. You cannot change your biological sex. You cannot change from a man to a woman or a woman to a man. It is physically impossible. It cannot be done. And yet, we, the normal people, and I can use that term, normal people, we can be punished. We can lose our jobs. We can be suspended. We can be blacklisted if we don't conform to their mental illness self-image, pretending to be something that they're not. But what about my feelings? What about my being offended by some dude with hairy legs and a hairy chest and facial hair walking in a short skirt with fake boobs and makeup? Sorry, that just doesn't sit right with normal human beings. I hate to jump back on my Asia kick, but over in China, in Singapore, in Vietnam, and in Korea, they're laughed at. These people are laughed at. Even in a progressive city like Singapore, like Shanghai. I went to an international maritime conference in Singapore while I was overseas, and one of the presenters that was there transitioned, apparently, supposedly, that's what they call it. This person, this dude, 6'1", was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy of, I guess, Norwegian descent, I would guess, with a British accent. Now sported long, curly, blonde, dyed hair and sported boobs and wore a short skirt with shaved legs in high heels. And was expected to be taken seriously as an expert. And this is what I was told by these people in the international maritime industry. Well, she, now they're calling this person she, even though it's a he, she is an expert in the field of hydrographics and hydrology, and is an expert in the field of nautical chart mapping and underwater hydrographics. She is an expert. They kept saying she, but all I could see was the same dude we had seen the year before, who was kind of effeminate, in other words, acted kind of queer, but now he is pretending to be a she, and everyone in the conference was expected to respect that this person is now a female. Now, openly, out there in the public eye, of course, everyone was saying, she did a great job, didn't she? But then when we got back to the bar and we're all sitting around chatting, it was like, man, do you believe so-and-so now pretends to be a girl? And we're supposed to accept that? Yes, in the official circles, everyone has to, because otherwise they could lose their jobs. And it's a damn shame. Why should I lose my job for pointing out a fact that this cannot be a female? But this person can't lose their job for prancing around in a short skirt, pretending to be something he can never be. All right, folks, get off the old soapbox here and into the office. I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. Make it the best Wednesday you can under the circumstances. Go out there and do the best you can do to be the best person you can be. And accept who you are. Accept who God made you at your birth. If you like what you hear, tell a friend. If you don't like what you hear, who cares? Go find another podcast to listen to. This is the Truth Hurts program, where we tell it like it is. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. Copyright 2024, The Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved. Background music, Jason Shaw and Audionautics.